This is The Trend on WNIN-FM. I'm John Gibson. It's our day out in Owensboro, where a new Riverfront Convention Center and a new downtown hotel will be opening next weekend. It's the latest in a big spurt of development here in downtown Owensboro. Earlier today, I spoke with Dean Dennis. He's the general manager of the new convention center.
As people walk into it, these high ceilings and this 55, 60 feet of glass in the front and the glass in the back, it's very voluminous. You'll see a very large facility, and it feels bigger really than it is. It's 170,000 gross square feet, but it really feels big, large.
And I'm guessing it's quite a view from in there, looking over the river.
No doubt, yeah. It really takes advantages of the Ohio River views and being situated right there on the Ohio. And then, of course, we have the pier that used to be part of the old Executive Inn that still sticks out over the river. They're redoing that for next fall. Uh-huh. And so you get an opportunity to still be a part of the river as well.
Yeah. Now, the new Convention Center, of course, is just part of a whole lot of development here in downtown Owensboro along the riverfront. But focusing this hour on the convention center, what will the center have? What will it offer for conventions and other events that hasn't been offered here in Owensboro for a while?
You know, John, you said earlier it is a very functional space and it's very multi-purpose. It can do a lot of different things. It has no fixed seats, so it's not like an arena, a regular sports arena would be. It's all flat space. It does have a 45,000 square foot exhibit hall that can do sporting events, consumer shows, trade shows, those kind of things in the facility. Conventions, meetings, entertainment, small concerts. Just a variety. It really is a multi-purpose facility, and we have a lot of that on the books already. We have already 251 events on the books for this year and next. Uh-huh. Almost $2.6 million worth of business that we've already booked for the facility, and just been a tremendous. People wanting to come to the facility, wanting to book the facility, and it's been really, really a good introduction to this region.
Now, doing a little research, I believe the city had hoped to open the convention center by the end of 2013, I believe. So were there some delays in the project? Anything significant there?
Nothing significant. They originally had hoped to be open in December, mm-hmm. But by the time they actually broke ground and they actually moved it forward, they ended up being on schedule and on time to get it open when they did. But the early delays mm-hmm. cost them the December date.
Yeah. Did any events have to be canceled or postponed?
No, fortunately not. I mean, we did have a lot of folks, again, wanting to be in the facility in December of 13, but we were able to move those. And, in fact, February 3rd is GRAD, which is the Green River Area Administrative District. Mm-hmm. And their annual meeting typically is in December. We're moving that now to February 3rd. So they were able to accommodate our schedule, and we're still able to have them in the facility.
Yeah. We're speaking with Dean Dennis. He's the general manager of the new Owensboro Convention Center. It opens next week. You can join the conversation. You can contact us on Twitter at WNIN News. You can also email us at news@WNIN.org. Later this hour, we'll be taking your phone calls. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Well, Dean, you said you've got an event coming up in just a few days, the first real event at this mm-hmm. center. But also coming up, a ribbon cutting and an open house. I believe that's on February 1st.
That's correct.
Can you tell us what can folks expect that day?
Yeah, that's a big day. It starts at 10 a.m. Hopefully we have good weather. We're certainly open for that. But we'll be doing the ribbon cutting. We'll also have the ribbon cutting for the new hotel as well. So the Hampton Inn and Suites will open their doors at the same time, basically, with a ribbon cutting. And then people walk into the facility and see this wonderful new facility on the river and be able to enjoy some local entertainment. We have lots of things for the kids, free hot dogs and Cokes, and a whole lot of things throughout the day. And then that evening, we have Marty Brown and the Willis Clan playing for us the Saturday evening with a free community concert.
I see. So lots of festivities that day.
Yeah. And then Sunday, we'll come back with Ministerial Alliance here has created a blessing lunch where we'll have a lunch and then we'll have several different faiths that bless the building. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, that afternoon will be the big game And we'll have that on all of our big screens throughout the facility so people can watch the game on TV.
And the big game, of course, is the Super Bowl.
That's exactly right.
I understand that a lot of advertising and promotional things, you can't use the word Super Bowl, but here in our journalistic ways, we can clarify.
Perfect.
In fact, the Super Bowl.
There you go, good.
Will be on all those screens. Well, I'm guessing that first impressions are very important in the convention business. What will you and your staff do to keep these conventions coming back to Owensboro after their first visits?
You know, John, that's so important. And my mom, as we're getting in this crunch time here, my mom made sure to remind me, now you only have one chance to make a first impression.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it makes us even more nervous. But it is so important to have that, to take care of folks when they come this first time and make sure they know how much we appreciate the business. And so we really focused on that. We really want to make sure that what we're working hard to capture now, we're able to get back in the future.
What kind of things can you do to make the event a positive thing and make these folks want to make it an annual thing and they keep coming back to Owensboro?
You know, a couple of things that are really important, and I think when you know you go to your meetings and you go to your conventions, food's very important.
Uh-huh.
We have an in-house kitchen and catering staff, and so the quality of our food and beverage and the services offered there are very important. Certainly the technology is important. We have free Wi-Fi throughout the building.
Mm-hmm.
And other, you know, great ways to connect to technology via all the things that we were just talking about.
Yeah,
off
social
the air.
Media,
right. And so, you know, making sure that those things are taken care of, and just ultimately just good hospitality and good service. And I know one of your future guests are the CVB here in Owensboro.
Yeah, the Commission and Visitors Bureau.
Right. And just the overall hospitality and making sure that people feel welcome, they're taken care of, and our service folks are making sure that they're getting what they need to do their events successfully.
You mentioned the new hotel, which will be opening very soon as well. How important is that facility to the convention center and the convention business here in Owensboro?
Oh, it is critical. And we as a company, manage facilities that don't have hotels next to them, and they struggle more than those that do.
Mm-hmm.
So having that hotel and then having the second one come on in 14, late 14, early 15, is just critical to our success. And as we make sales calls to conventions, to meetings, sleeping rooms are so critical, and so having that hotel is going to be a really important part of what we do.
Yeah, I guess especially for events that will go a number of days, I mean, obviously having a hotel nearby is important.
It is. In fact, a lot of groups, it's part of their basic bid package, and they'll say, hey, I need 200 room nights for this convention, and if you don't have a hotel, you can't even submit a bid. We don't even want to really talk to you. So
right.
It oftentimes is the first thing that they look at as a meeting planner to say, how far are the hotels? What's the distance I have between the hotels and my meeting space?
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes a just priority one for most people and most meeting planners when they're looking at where they're going to host their next meeting.
And the new hotel, the New Hampton Inn here in downtown Owensboro, is very close to the convention center.
It's right across the street. At one time, it actually was even connected, and then that went away based on where the two ended up on their sites.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little long, but at one time. So it's literally just across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a Holiday Inn that's also under construction on the other side. The Hampton's 150 rooms, and the Holiday Inn's 120 rooms. So we'll have a 270-room base in downtown, which will be really critical to our success. As people walk into it, these high ceilings and this 55, 60 feet of that.
That's Dean Dennis, the general manager of the new Owensboro Convention Center. It opens next weekend here in downtown Owensboro. We're coming to you today from Owensboro. It's our big day out. We're here in the International Bluegrass Music Museum. Let's return now to Dean Dennis. He's the general manager of that new Owensboro Convention Center that opens next weekend. He's expecting big things from the center.
Well, I don't know if it's as good as WNIN support from your listeners, but I'll tell you what, it has been fantastic. I think in any of our facilities where we manage, I've never been in a community that's so excited and so supportive of this new center. We have a program called Bring Your Meeting Home, where we mm-hmm. invite people who are part of a fraternal or social or a professional organization that they belong to ask that group to come back to Owensboro. And we've received well over 200 leads of different business like that. And people are very, very excited about the facility, very supportive of it. And yeah, it is a taxpayer-funded initiative, and it comes through a public process. And so there's always those that say, gee, could we have spent that money somewhere else? Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I think that it's really been a good decision by the folks here to move forward with this project, and we'll do a lot of good things for the community down the road.
We're speaking with Dean Dennis. He's the general manager of the new Owensboro Convention Center. The grand opening is next weekend. You can join the conversation on Twitter at WNIN News. You can also drop us an email, news@wnin.org. Or you can call us, area code 812-426-7400. Well, Dean, we were talking also about the Convention Center and its impact on the whole downtown development here in downtown Owensboro. You see the Convention Center as sort of an anchor to all that?
I do. It is really an important part of an anchor, as the word I use, as kind of the piece that really begins to draw visitors to the community. The way to make your pie bigger in the world is to have this kind of a venue. And it really is an important part to the region. When you look at the economy and people coming to visit, it really becomes a regional facility and drives new revenues, new opportunities for business, new restaurants, new things that are happening as a result of this facility. And I think that's what the mayor and the folks in Owensboro really wanted to do. And I think you'll hear this in your day out today in Owensboro, mm-hmm. is it's a community that really wanted to drive new business and new opportunity. And they felt like if they made the right public investments, the private investments would come. And they're seeing that. That's coming true. And so the Convention Center was one of the biggest pieces of that, mm-hmm. that public investment in terms of a facility. And they really felt like that public investment would drive private investment. And again, I think they're seeing the realities of that.
And I'm guessing the economic impact will be very wide, not just downtown, but area-wide, region-wide?
Absolutely, region-wide and certainly area-wide. We base a lot of our performance on what we call room nights, hotel room nights. We booked 12,000 room nights for the first couple of years of business, not even open yet. Mm-hmm. And that 12,000 room nights equates to just shy of about $2.3 million worth of economic impact, direct spending. They figure about $192 per person that they spend between hotel, lodging, and meals. So that's a huge new number to come into your community from outside of your community.
Now we talked about the big ribbon cutting and the open house. That's on Saturday, February 1st. But I understand there's also another big event to sort of christen the building on Friday night, correct? A week from tonight.
That's a week from tonight, yeah. We have a grand opening gala event. It's an opportunity for us really to showcase and show off what we can do and what we can accomplish. So a lot of these groups and a lot of these sales opportunities we have invited to come to the facility. So business that we're chasing, we've invited to this event. We'll have food and a sit-down dinner, and then it tops it off with a concert by Sarah Evans that evening. We also have other entertainers, including a little bluegrass duo, Randy Lanham's playing, and some other things that are happening that evening. It's a really big event, and it's our opportunity, as I say, to show off and really showcase it to the region.
Yeah, Owensboro, of course, is a very musical city. Lots of your work we're transmitting this morning from the International Bluegrass Music Museum. Also a big city on food, particularly barbecue. You were saying earlier in the hour that food is very important at the Convention Center. I'm guessing a person could find some good barbecue over there?
Absolutely. We're going to be using our already astounding Moonlight Barbecue and Old Hickory Barbecue in the facility. Mm-hmm. But we'll have, food is so important to making it work. And as you remember your last convention, you walk away, you remember how good the food was or how bad the food was. So it's an important part to making a good meeting.
We've been speaking to Dean Dennis. He's the general manager of the new Owensboro Convention Center. A ribbon will be cut next weekend opening the center. We'll have more coming up. We'll hear from our own Steve Berger. He toured a research laboratory, a new laboratory here in Owensboro. We'll also hear from our own Cass Harrington. But right now, let's take a break. This is The Trend on WNIN-FM.
It's 20 minutes past 12 noon Central. You're listening to The Trend on WNIN-FM, live, local, and NPR. Support comes from Rabin Tire and Auto Service, a proud sponsor of WNIN programming. Rabin's trained technicians provide complete auto service, including brakes, alignment, oil and lube, and all recommended maintenance, along with tire brands like Michelin and Goodyear. Information on the web at RabinTire.com. We'll return to The Trend in just a moment.
This is The Trend on WNIN-FM. I'm John Gibson. Well, it's our day out in Owensboro, and our Steve Berger took a tour this week of a high-tech research laboratory. Let's check in now with our own Steve Berger.
Madison, start us off on the tour. Where are we?
Sure. We're here at 1010 Allen Street, which is the Center for Business and Research. It's a 100-plus-year-old converted tobacco warehouse, brick warehouse, that we've converted into a business incubation and scientific research facility here in Owensboro to support our growing high-tech and particularly biotech companies in the greater Owensboro area.
I guess the irony should not be lost on us that we're in an old tobacco warehouse doing research on ways to use tobacco to cure disease.
That's right, and that's by design. We thought, how great would it be to be able to tell that story, and I'm glad I get to tell it today, that we're able to look at next-generation plant-made pharmaceutical research in a tobacco warehouse where we were once unknowingly killing people with carcinogens. We're now going to create anti-cancer drugs to save their lives.
Okay, so where to?
Well, we'll go down here through the Reed Hare Research Wing. And right now we're going into a sterilization lab where we have ultra-pure water available, dishwashers, autoclaves, everything that a startup biology high-tech company needs. We have a tissue culture room where if you want to try to extrapolate the DNA out of the tobacco plant or soybeans or switchgrass, whatever it is that you're working on, we have a facility for that. We're in what's kind of our noisy and hot room. This is our central equipment room. We have several minus 80 freezers here, laboratory refrigerators, incubators. We have every kind of centrifuge you could possibly want, photo documentation systems, microscopes, about $1 million worth of equipment in this facility that was paid for through a generous grant from the Economic Development Administration and through coal severance funds through our county fiscal court. The program that we run here allows tenants in this facility to not only rent a benchtop laboratory, and we have four of them here, but it also allows you to do an equipment lease where for $1,000 a year, we allow you access to this $1 million worth of equipment. The great thing about that is if you are a company who's developing a new pharmaceutical, one of the most expensive things you can do and start to do that bench level research because you've got to have $1 million worth of equipment to get started. So imagine going to a venture capitalist and saying, I've got this idea and I need $1 million worth of equipment just to get started, and I might be completely wrong. So this allows us to keep their costs low as they get started and allows them the use of some very general biological tools, fume hoods, laminar fume hoods, laminar flow hoods, HPLCs, and a really interesting piece of equipment that I'll show you now. This is an analytical lab that is leased by Kentucky Bioprocessing. Kentucky Bioprocessing is the only company in the world that can produce, do large-scale production of proteins derived from plants. And their process is that they modify the tobacco mosaic virus to then genetically tell the tobacco plant to grow the certain protein that they're wanting. So let's say it's an anti-cancer drug, an anti-diabetes drug, what have you. The plant acts as the bioreactor to create that protein. We have a pharmaceutical analysis system here that is, it looks just like a desktop printer, but in reality, this is the Rolls Royce of pharmaceutical analysis systems. This is about a $180,000 machine, and it can break down in particle size, large molecules, small molecules. It's a really interesting piece of equipment. And the type of research that goes on in here one day might save your life.
That's our Steve Berger, who toured a new research laboratory here in Owensboro this week. It is our day out in Owensboro. I'm John Gibson. This is The Trend on WNIN, coming to you this week from the International Bluegrass Music Museum here in Owensboro. Well, now let's turn to the mayor of Owensboro, Ron Payne. We spoke to him earlier today, and he admits that he's the city's biggest cheerleader.
Let me tell you, never in our history have we been so busy. I think this entire city is so re-energized, so many great things going on. We receive confirmation of that, all the wonderful things going on in our city last year in Denver, when for the first time in over a half century, this city was selected to be an All-America city. And we surpassed Fort Lauderdale, Colorado Springs, to get that special designation. And I've got to tell you, it was a real honor for us to receive that. But, you know, today, I just can't tell you how excited this community is. And the accolades and the recognitions for Owensboro just keep coming in. From everywhere. You know, the governor says there's more going on in the city of Owensboro than there is in any other city in the state of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're getting ready here to next Friday to open up that new convention center. We're going to be back in the convention business. You know, it used to be the Executive Inn was kind of the lighthouse, if you would, there on that bank, drawing people from all around this country. That's going to happen again. In fact, I've got to tell you, the Executive Inn was a wonderful facility. It's nothing like what we've got over there now. Mm-hmm. With the convention center being one of the largest in the area, they tell me it's bigger than the one in Louisville. Dean Dennis, we hired him early to be involved. He's with Global Spectrum. They've been charged with running the convention center, managing it.
Yeah, we spoke with him earlier this morning.
Oh, that's great. That's great. They hit the ground running and have done such a wonderful job. It's my understanding, I think he told me the other day, they have 251 events already booked for 2014 and 15. So, things are about to change. Let me tell you, I tell all of our vendors downtown, all of our businesses, get ready.
Well, coming across the Blue Bridge early this morning for our day out here in Owensboro, we couldn't help but notice all the development downtown. I mean, certainly the new convention center, very striking there on the riverfront. Just a lot of growth, especially in the downtown area.
Oh, listen, let me tell you, it is an extreme makeover city version, because let me tell you, that's just what's happening. We're completely redoing downtown Owensboro. The streets are being redone here, especially 2nd Street. You're going to see a lot of bricks in the streets. Veterans Boulevard is all brick. The intersections are going to be brick. 2nd Street is squeezed in so we can have more cafe seating in front of those restaurants, because we do anticipate a lot of people coming to visit our downtown.
That's Mayor Ron Payne of Owensboro. We're broadcasting today from the International Bluegrass Music Museum in Owensboro. It's our day out on WNIN. This is The Trend. I'm John Gibson. Cass Harrington will be joining us shortly. Let's go back now to Mayor Payne on WNIN.
About 5 years ago, I decided, after some encouragement from a lot of the business community, to run for mayor. And, Owensboro had kind of fallen asleep. I think that everything was a little depressed here. There were a lot of things that needed to be replaced. Mm-hmm. And we were right in this community. So, you know, my thought, and I had some great people that joined me. I call them the dream team. There are some commissioners that came on board with me, and we made the decision that we were going to move things forward. For so many times, for so long, we had done study after study. In fact, I used to joke, we built a brand new library to hold all the studies we'd done. Yeah. But it was time to move forward, you know, and this that you've witnessed here in our community today, I said, this is what I want to see happen. If you have a better plan, tell me what it is, but if you don't, this is the road we're going to go down. And the thought was at that time, you know, because there were a lot of people that said, Mayor, we need to wait. You know, we're in the middle of this recession, and my thought was that was the very time to start this process and rebuild our community, because we were going to create a lot of jobs, a lot of construction jobs, and of course it was a bold initiative to basically increase our insurance tax right in the middle of that recession. It was a tough thing to do, but the city elected officials agreed with me. I went over and talked to the then county judge, Reed Hare. He agreed. He got his county commissioners on board. So we all stepped up and implemented or began this program.
Yeah, now, as you mentioned, I mean, this was during the Great Recession. You had all this major development going on in downtown Owensboro. How did the city manage it during those years? Did you have public support for these kinds of projects?
We did. Of course, the newspaper got behind us. The chamber did. Economic Development Corporation did. But there was some opposition. I've got to tell you, it was not an easy thing to do because, you know, a lot of the community, one, thought we didn't need to do it in the first place, and others thought the timing wasn't right. But, everyone came together. I can't tell you how important that was, that the leadership in this community came together and decided this is what we wanted to do.
And how did the convention center, how was it funded? I mean, how did you go about raising the money necessary, for the public side of things to get the convention?
It was the insurance tax. Mm-hmm. The insurance tax basically was going to generate $80 million. And there were several things we wanted to do. One, build a new convention center, build a new Smothers Park with that money, and basically do the street renovations that you see. And we thought if we did that a lot of the private sector would step up and invest in this community, which they have. I cannot tell you how appreciative I am of the entrepreneurs in the city, because let me tell you, it's homegrown. These are local people. Malcolm Bryant, Terry Woodward, Matt Hayden, Jack Wells. I could go on all day. Rosemary, Larry Condor. All these people are citizens of this community, and they're putting their dollars, they're investing their dollars in the future of this city. But we adopted that insurance tax for $80 million. We hired Global Spectrum to manage the facility, Denart to build it, and Trey Hand to design it. These people came back. We were somewhat through the process trying to design it, determine exactly what it needed to contain and how big. They came back and said, Mayor, you've got to build this bigger. You know, that's the one thing we learned as we went around visiting other cities, that the common remark was, Mayor, we didn't build this big enough. So we had to put in another $20 million into that convention facility, and we stepped up and did it, and we used some other city resources in order to accomplish that. And I got to tell you, once you go in there, you're gonna be blown away. We achieved the wow factor that we said we wanted.
It sounds as if, as you say, you know, you raise the tax, you raise the revenue for the project, and it creates jobs.
That's right.
I mean, it almost sounds maybe almost a bit like a New Deal kind of thing, where times are tough, let's put people to work building things. Is that sort of
You've read the script, because I'm going to tell you that's what happened. We created all these jobs. Of course, in the meantime, in the process, was the construction of a brand new $400 million hospital, one of the 100 best hospitals in the United States. And you know, that was going on. We had all of our work going on. And so, for the most part, we really didn't see a significant impact on this community regarding that recession, because we had so much construction activity going on. I believe it was last year that the business profits in this community were the highest they've ever been. And we can gauge that because we tax business profits. And, that tax revenue was the largest it's ever been, as I said. So, you know, it's working. It really is working. And this community, as we talked about a few minutes ago, is really becoming a destination city.
We're speaking to Owensboro Mayor Ron Payne. We are live in Owensboro today. It's WNIN's Day Out. We're coming to you from the International Bluegrass Music Museum here in downtown Owensboro. You can join the conversation on Twitter. Give us a tweet at WNIN News, or email us at news@wnin.org. Later this hour, we'll open up the phones, and as we continue our conversation here with Owensboro Mayor Ron Payne. Well, Ron, you mentioned this tax increase that helped raise the revenue for the big project, put a lot of people to work, and that's led to private investment. I guess a question that might come to mind is, are any other city projects or any other areas of the city, you know, losing some funding because of this downtown development? Any other areas that are maybe, you know, being slighted by all of this?
None whatsoever. In fact, the reverse is true. You know, we're in the process now of building a brand new skate park out at Chautauqua Park. Again, this is private sector, but there is a second hotel that's under construction, will be completed by the end of this week. We're continuing to work on our transportation infrastructure. We've got Southtown Boulevard. We're going to run it into our air park because we've had such a tremendous growth with U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank is now our largest employer in the city of Owensboro. Working with them, the city constructed their buildings, and basically what we did is we're using the tax revenue that they are generating to pay for those buildings. It's not that we're having to basically input any additional funds. That source of revenue is paying for that project, and I think it's like 2,200 people now work out there at that U.S. Bank facility. And, you know, again, they'll tell you the reason they decided to expand here in Owensboro is all of the great things going on in this city. We're working to build a new indoor tennis facility, the first one here for the city of Owensboro. We've begun work on a senior citizen activity center. We have quite a list of projects, and I'll say this, that are going to be completed in 2014, and we have many others that we're going to be looking at starting to work on for the future.
So quite a few ribbon cuttings this year, huh?
That's groundbreakings and ribbon cuttings. That's we've been doing a lot of that.
All right. That is Owensboro Mayor Ron Payne. We spoke to him earlier this morning here in Owensboro. We're broadcasting today from the International Bluegrass Music Museum in Owensboro. It is our day out. We'll take a break now. More from Owensboro coming up. This is The Trend on WNIN-FM.
It's 20 minutes before the hour of 1 a.m. I'm Daniel Moore. This is our day out in Owensboro with the Trend edition of the show on WNIN-FM, live, local, and NPR. Your program continues in just a moment. Make that 1 p.m.
This is The Trend on WNIN-FM. I'm John Gibson. It's our day out in Owensboro. We're here. We've heard from the mayor earlier. We also heard from the manager of the city's new convention center that opens next week, along with a new downtown hotel. Now let's check in with my colleague, Cass Harrington. I understand, Cass, you visited a local senior citizens facility here, correct?
Yeah, John, and you know that enthusiasm that the mayor mentioned in the previous clip? It's mm-hmm. trickling down to residents of all ages. So Brianna Williams and I, we decided to go to Elizabeth Monday Senior Center. Mm-hmm. We went into the rec room, and we saw two folks playing billiards when we walked in. And they were talking about the changes going on downtown and how there was a little nostalgia about how things used to be on Main Street. So let's take a listen at that and hear what they had to say about the rising generation of leadership in this town.
We moved here approximately 6.5 years ago.
24.
Mostly to get close to doctors and more for convenience than anything. I was born and raised only approximately 35 miles from here. I came here, down here, my brother-in-law came and brought us down here to see the new bridge they built across the Ohio River. They call it the Blue Bridge now. That was in approximately 1942. Really don't remember that much about it. I was just a kid, 7 years old at that time. and I don't recall much about it. It's just a thrill to me to get to ride in a vehicle. I'm not that good. The good pool players are just not in here today. I just love to play. Of course, I remember all the old stories and all, such as old Kresge drugstore and Sears when it was downtown and things of that nature. But no, not being from here, I don't have that many fond memories.
I've spent most of my time down this area. I don't really know as far as putting it in words. It's they're very similar. There's not that much difference in Evansville and Owensboro. There's a little bit of difference, but I think it's friendly enough to social enough, you know, and it's growing, you know. We've got things going on downtown. That's always a plus when you got stuff growing. And, you know, the industry is pretty stationary. It's not growing that much. But I think any time that you can make an improvement, especially in this economic condition, that it's a if you can afford to do it, that's the time to do it. The people that lived through the depressions in the 20s and 30s, if they had any refunds or money that they could invest, well, then it was a good time to do it. When everything's low, that's the time to buy, they say. And I think it's great that Owensboro has the finances and the refunds to do that when the economy is down, because then obviously if it comes up again, well, then Owensboro's going to be ready for it. As far as some of the businesses, I grew up in Forgeville, and if we didn't want to buy anything, we came to Owensboro. So I can remember a lot of the things that was down the old Western Auto Store when Sears was downtown. There was several restaurants. That's the McAtee's. Their business atmosphere was different. It was a whole lot. I mean, you could go to someone and ask them, and they could tell you. Now, if you go out to the mall, you got to find somebody to ask. So that was the major thing. It's just that so many of the places are that was here when I was younger, that they're not there now, and that's a shame. But you can't keep everything. The younger generation come along. Well, they've got different wants and needs than what I had when I was a teenager. I'd like to see the young people get more involved. When I'm talking about young people, you know, the 20s and 30s, because they have, that's going to be the generation. They're going to be the people that make decisions eventually, one way or the other. And I think I would it would be nice to be able to have that experience when they were younger, so they could carry it through to the next generation and the next generation.
That was Merlin Mingus and Gene Caulfield at the Elizabeth Monday Senior Center in Owensboro. And, you know, that last clip from Gene Caulfield was really touching, because he was talking about that new generation that Owensboro is really preparing for. And mm-hmm. We're talking about millennials here who tend to like urban settings, who want to move in downtown settings. I can't generalize, but that's mm-hmm. what the trends are saying. And so it seems like Owensboro is really looking ahead and investing in future generations for this town.
Yes, indeed. No, it was great to hear the reflections of those older gentlemen there.
Over a pool table.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Thank you, Cass. That's our own Cass Harrington. This is The Trend on WNIN-FM. I'm John Gibson. We're here in Owensboro. It's our day out in Owensboro. And our Steve Berger has also been hitting the streets here in town. Just earlier today, he took a tour of the city's new convention center. It opens 1 week from today. The facility on Owensboro's riverfront sits right on the river. It's a beautiful building. And let's hear more now from Steve Berger's tour.
This is what we call our pre-function lobby. It's about 16,000 square feet of space. This building is basically built in triplicate. It's got three shoeboxes, if you will, that are put together. So pod one, pod two, and pod three, and they're basically identical. There are three separate entrances, and you come into this pre-function area. These last two have it's a multi-purpose room. It can be used for registration, for ticketing. We're going to use it for a coat room next weekend, I should say. And so that each one of those, and then this last one I'll show you, has a cafe in it. We put a little coffee bar, so you can get a cup of coffee and a sandwich and panini, whatever it is that you might want. So that's the last one over here. So we've got a little grab-and-go kind of cafe area. And then as you walk into the building, each of the pods empty into the exhibit hall, and there are three exhibit halls that all come together to make one large hall or make three separate halls. Each hall is about 15,000 square feet or so, and has a set of restrooms off of each pod. And so when you walk into the exhibit hall, you can smell, that's a floor cleaner, that citrus smell. So you walk in, and these are concrete floors, 30-foot ceilings, and again, we have the ability to do just a myriad of things in here, Steve. We can do sporting events, we can do cheer and dance competitions, we have consumer shows, we're putting our opening gala banquet actually in this area. And we have plenty of power on the back. We have all of our floor boxes that are all tested and ready to go. And then these are the walls you see that split the three sections.
So what's actually happening right now around here? There's a lot of people here.
There is. Probably primary is we're loading in a lot of what we call our furniture, fixtures, and equipment, our staging. Let me show you some of that stuff we have over here. The staging, the chairs, the tables, all that kind of stuff that's coming in. The final clean from the contractor to get it turned over to us, and some of what they call the punch list items that they're trying to get punched out. To say, okay, this needs to be fixed, or this doesn't work properly, we need to look at that. And so this is some of the equipment it takes to operate a facility like this. And this is just some of it. We actually have our chairs coming Monday. We have 2,000 banquet chairs that we'll have here.
We've got one of the pods full of tables here and various types of equipment.
Exactly right. So you have exhibitor tables. We have our round tables that we use for banquets and banquet rounds. These are our bistro tall boy tables, we call them. These are our meeting room tables. And all of our staging equipment is back here. We can make a stage. Our stage is 40 by 32. So we have the ability to do that. And so, that's one of the key things that's happening right now, in addition to the cleaning and kind of this final punch list items that we need to get going. Of course, the kitchen, it was tested yesterday. We got our health inspection from the kitchen. We'll be doing some test cooking to make sure all the equipment's working and all that. So that's happening as well. So yeah, there's a busy bee of activity right now.
So it's going to be ready.
It'll be ready, yeah. In fact, I just a minute ago, Steve, ran into the general contractor just a couple of things that he wanted to point out to me, so they're very confident that we'll actually have what they call a temporary occupancy certificate by today, and tomorrow essentially becomes our building, if you will, that we'll be able to really start to move around in the building and do what we need to do to get ready for next weekend's events.
So what, anything keeping you up at night this week?
You know, I tell you the biggest thing, it's funny you ask that, because there are things you just wake up and go, oh gosh, what if that happened? And one of them is, it's a three-story building. So one of them is I've got my kitchen on the third floor and I'm serving food on the ground floor and my elevator breaks. So we actually making sure that we have a standby person for our big night to make sure that we've got the elevators working and the escalators should something happen to them. But no, not really. At this point, we're pretty much, we talked earlier this morning about first impressions. And so that keeps me up a little, just making sure that we meet the expectations of our current or our clients and our customers and the community, and there's very high expectations, and we just want to make sure we deliver on those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's walk up the stairs. This is our back of house corridor. The middle pod of this third floor is our kitchen, a big storage area you'll see here on the right-hand side. And we're starting to move, again, a lot of equipment in here, so we have all that ready. All of our glass and dish racks for the kitchen, that sort of thing. And the kitchen will be right here. And then on either side is the ballrooms. And the ballrooms are 13,000 square feet, but they break into five separate spaces. And so this is one of the spaces. So when you have a breakout room or a smaller room, this becomes that room, or it becomes much larger. So we'll step out here just for a second. It's real windy out here. But they'll be redoing this pier, Steve, and they're taking off those sides and putting a new top on that. It'd be a really nice way for us to have some music and entertainment and other events out there on that pier, and you'd be able to enjoy them from right here on this balcony. So that's going to be a really exciting piece. That'll be due late summer next year, early fall.
Of 2014?
Of 2014, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I say, oh my gosh, next year. It is this year now. This is the kitchen, which obviously has a lot of activity because all the stuff that's coming in these crates and boxes has to be washed. All of our silverware, plates, dishes, glasses, all has to go through our dishwashing machine, which, by the way, washes 15,000 pieces an hour. So we're still finishing up some training on some of the equipment. We do have our health inspection, so we'll be able to actually start serving food out of this kitchen as early as today, really, we could. So all of that begins to happen. All this equipment, our walk-in coolers and freezers, everything's operational, and this is an important part of the activity that's going on today is in this room here. So
that's our Steve Berger, who just took a tour of the new convention center here in downtown Owensboro. This is The Trend on WNIN-FM. I'm John Gibson. Joining us now is Madison Silvert. He's the president and CEO of the Greater Owensboro Economic Development Corporation. He just gave Steve that tour earlier this morning here in downtown Owensboro. It's our day out in Owensboro, and Madison, we're certainly happy you could join us here.
Well, thanks. We're glad to have you here.
Well, thank you. And for anybody in the economic development business around here, you've got to be pretty excited about all the things that are going on in downtown Owensboro.
You know, there's an incredible amount of momentum in this community, not only in downtown, but really all around. And it is fantastic to have been at least a small part of what's going on here.
Yeah, what role did your folks play in a lot of this development we're seeing?
Well, particularly with the downtown development, you know, we were part of the group along with the Public Life Foundation that initially convened a public meeting that we had back in November of 2007 to start looking at our strategic course with rebuilding downtown. We had about 700 people at that meeting. Mm-hmm. And the thing that came out of that was let's redevelop our downtown. So the Economic Development Corporation then hired a planning group, Gateway Planning Group out of Fort Worth, Texas. And we spent most of 2008 going through a planning stage, and it's been off to the races ever since then.
Yeah. Now, we've got the new convention center opening up next weekend, also a new hotel opening up here in downtown Owensboro. You've had a lot of development, a new park. What else is on the horizon? In your business, I'm sure you're always looking for more opportunities for economic development. What could we see in the future here?
We are. You know, we have really carefully developed over the last few years a life science strategy in this community as well. So attracting more research scientists, and we got to talk about that a little bit earlier with what's going on at the Center for Business and Research. Uh-huh. So, you know, that's a key part of where we think we're going as a community. We've been recognized recently as one of 10 MSAs in the South that are fostering technology like no other. We were cited as one of the 20 communities in the United States that could be the next Silicon Valley, and that's something we take very seriously.
So you expect the convention center to spur more development in the area?
We do. I mean, because what having assets like that does for this community, it allows us to add a quality of life element when we're recruiting PhDs who are doing research, or we're recruiting new physicians for the hospital. That's all economic development too, and the companies that they start up through their research, the entrepreneurial resources that we bring to bear for those folks, it all ties together. So this downtown project is more than just stuff. It's also being able to add that quality of life element when it comes to recruiting companies, CEOs, and researchers.
Sure, sure. That's Madison Silvert. He's the president and CEO of the Greater Owensboro Economic Development Corporation. He's also got a banjo with him. We want him to hang on to that, stay with us, and we'll come back to you for a little music here shortly, some Owensboro-like music. But let's turn now to Cass Harrington, who I understand has got, well, you've got something in the works here, correct?
Something, are we talking about barbecue?
Well, that, if we're going to be in Owensboro, I think we have to talk
about
barbecue.
Yeah, and it's about lunchtime, so mm-hmm. I have barbecue on my mind. Well, there are certain signature Kentucky industries like bourbon or bluegrass or even barbecue that we're really proud of, and so I thought we couldn't do this Owensboro segment without stopping at one place and sharing the sights and smells. I know this is radio, but let's give it a try. Mm-hmm. So I went to the Old Hickory Barbecue, and we've got a clip of that. I was walking through the pit, literally walking through it, mm-hmm. With Chris Ferguson. So let's take a listen to that.
These are the two big pits that we normally cook on. We're only cooking on one today. With it being January, it's our slowest month. Here's the mutton ribs, a couple of the hind core that we cook. We normally cook about 8 to 10 sheep a day, roughly 45 to 50 butts a day, a couple beef. I think we have 5 on today.
That smells amazing. So what are they cooking over?
It's a pit on underneath where the fire and everything is, and it comes up and the heat just cooks it off.
How much training did you have to go through to figure this out? This is a real science.
Yeah, it takes a while to learn exactly what you're doing. It takes a few weeks to even learn. With the temperature changing, it takes longer to learn. In the summertime, you might throw on a couple logs, and then wintertime, you might throw on 10 logs at a time. Depends on how hot it is or how cold it is outside. And with the way the wood is, we get dry wood and we get wet wood, so it's pretty hard. You just have to, it's different every single day you come in.
Do you know about like how many pigs or sheep you go through every day?
We cook, every Monday we get about 30 sheep, and we'll cook that 30 sheep before Thursday, and we'll get 30 more sheep on that Thursday. So roughly 8 to 10 to more than that. It really depends how busy we are.
I imagine when you finish your shift and you get home, you like smell like.
Yeah.
Does it wash off?
If you leave here and have to go somewhere else, everyone tells you, like, you smell so good, I could just eat you.
There you have it. You smell so good, I could just eat you. My coat still smells like hickory barbecue. But that was a fun little walkthrough I did with Chris Ferguson. Just another one of Kentucky's industries, and we'll hear more during All Things Considered about bourbon, another one around cocktail hour.
Yes, indeed, barbecue and bourbon. You can't beat that. All right, well, again, we'd like to thank all of our guests here today, including Madison Silvert of the Greater Owensboro Economic Development Corporation. Madison, feel free. He's got a banjo in his hand, so feel free to play us out here while we thank a few folks. I'd like to thank Brianna Williams back at the studio, along with Daniel Moore. Also, Zach Ginzel, he ran the board here today at Owensboro. I'd like to thank all of our guests and everybody else who helped with the production today. This is our day out in Owensboro. This is WNIN Evansville. I'm John Gibson. This is The Trend. Thank you for joining us.